Yeah. Get up with Mitchell and Michael.
Check it out.
Turn it on, turn it up. You're my radio.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Richard Tinley, and this is Michael Russ.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to the Mitchell and Michael Show. We are the mint chocolate of the radio industry. You might like us, but I hate us.
You hate us?
I hate us. I just don't like mint chocolate.
No, I'm not a fan of mint chocolate either, but I am a fan of the show. Come on. Like, don't put yourself down like that. I think we are a Turkish delight. Coming up in 15 minutes' time, we love to share some tales from the motherland. Yes.
England.
No, WA. Oh. That's our motherland.
Yes.
Just a very bizarre, interesting story has been covered. Found this with the ABC, and the writing on this piece is just the journalism on this article from our homeland of WA is just top notch. And I want to share it in 15 minutes time.
Well, covering the hot stories, but what's coming up next is some of the funniest words in the English language. I found a list which has deemed these words to be the funniest words, and I'm going to tell you what they mean and probably why they're so funny. So, you know, covering all aspects of intelligence this morning. So stick around.
3 minutes time, Mitchell and Michael, here 96.1.
Ross, these are the funniest words according to science. Now, not just the funniest words due to the fact that, like, for example, there's a word called snickersnee, which is like a word for like a knife.
Okay.
In the 1700s. So, you know, like it's like a funny
Pass
word.
Pass me the snickersnee.
Yeah. So it's not like that.
Okay.
It's just kind of these are the words that apparently because of how they're written, how they sound, the words that are used, the shape of them, and obviously the sound and the meaning, according to science, is we find them the funniest.
Okay.
Okay. So, but maybe give me a ding or a dong.
Sure. I
if,
can do that.
If you are, I have you
heard,
enjoy these.
I have heard that sounds with like like K sounds, C making that sound, that starts a funny thing. Does that happen at all here?
That's probably why children, I laugh when I hear children say a word with a CK in it. All right, you ready? Upchuck.
Nah.
Bubby.
What? Bubby.
Bubby.
Yeah, Bubby.
Boff.
No.
Wrigley.
Maybe, yeah. It's a fun word.
Yaps.
Yaps. What is yaps?
Like a dog. Like a yap.
Oh, like, okay, that yeah. kind of thing.
giggle.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this a funny word according to science? Cooch.
Don't know why.
Guffaw?
Yeah, because, yeah, it's an odd
Did
funny
your dad
word.
Ever say that? My dad used to say it all the time. When I'd say a joke, he'd be like, oh, guffaw. Like, he'd
say the word of guffawing.
Yes, like so, like how we say lol.
Yeah,
it's the 80s
old
version
one.
Of lol.
Guffaw.
Finally, puffball.
No.
Oh, sorry. Finally, jiggly.
Sure. Okay.
These are the funniest words as of 2018, according to science. So just
things with double G's and ending in like a E sound. Bubby, wriggly, giggly,
did you
jiggly.
Know, apparently, bub, just quick fun fact.
Yeah.
Bub is like, you'd be like, you might be like, oh, babe or whatever.
Mm.
Bub apparently only refers to boys.
Okay.
Yeah, according to
Bub is for boys.
This dictionary.
And then babe is for your bae?
No.
No?
You know what bae is though, right?
Before anyone else.
Got it.
Which is the dumbest thing ever. Hit 96.1.
Get up with Mitchell and Michael.
Across the Limestone Coast, hit 96.1. Catch Matt Harvey Norman from 9 to 1 this Saturday for incredible deals throughout the entire store. It's Mitchell and Michael right now.
That just sounds funny. Catch just me.
Catch me. If you can, you might win a prize. Well, I want to tell you now, Mitch.
Sorry, yeah. Harvey Norman, will you still be doing fist fights in the car park for money? Or is that not on because I'm not here?
You can find that on Hit 96.1 Facebook page, but I can't go on air. We like to tell you tales from our motherland because we're from WA.
Yes.
And we think that I've realized since moving away that a lot of odd things happen.
Yes.
Back
so
in WA.
Obviously, we've been living here for a good year and a bit, and we're going to live here for the foreseeable future because it's a beautiful place. Except ask me after today.
Depends how my fist fight goes.
38 degrees, so we'll see how that goes. But there's a lot of weird things that happen in Western Australia.
And this is just a fantastic article that I've seen. It's been expertly written. And so I'm just going to read some parts of it word for word because I can't articulate it any better than this.
Who's it from?
This is from the ABC.
Oh, okay.
This has happened in Western Australia, in Mount Barker's Western Australia, which is sort of a southwest town.
Yep.
And so Karen Strobel thought her partner had found the perfect pet for their West Australian hobby farm. But beneath his furry exterior, Harry was concealing a near uncontrollable rage. Harry is an alpaca that they bought. And the day he arrived, his uncontrollable rage, as they put it, came out. And this is like a demon alpaca.
Okay.
This thing is insane. But they obviously didn't know too much about alpacas.
Because they get quite angry and agitated and they spit and...
And you would think, like, that you don't like animals. You wouldn't.
I do like animals. Sorry. I don't love animals.
You wouldn't like an alpaca, but you know immediately. You mentioned the spitting.
Yes.
So, like, camels, llamas, alpacas, they spit.
Yep.
What does the spitting mean?
It means go away.
Means go away. Not to Karen. She thought that because he looked so beautiful, we thought that spitting at us was part of his love for us.
Same.
And. Just spit it at people at the club?
Yeah.
Oh, how's it going?
It's like, what? I'm like, it means I like you.
Well, as soon as he got out of the horse float, he started spitting. He bit her on the arm.
Oh.
And it from there just got worse.
I tell you what, if it was mine, I'll pack it back and send it. Sorry.
It just got worse. She got like kicked to the ground one day.
So she kept coming back.
Hurt her back. Well, it's now theirs. It's living in a paddock. And he kept, like, escaping so they would have to go get him. And he was not happy with that at all. And one day, things got out of control where he started, like, trampling her. Her mother had to, like, beat off the alpaca with a broom, which gave the alpaca a blood nose. And so then he was spitting blood at them.
What is this nonsense? You know what? That is the thing with animals. And that's why I don't think I deserve to ever have an animal. It's very similar to horse owners.
Yeah.
If a horse, like a horse could throw its rider off, kick you in the face, run over you, and the person would still be like, oh, is the horse okay? Like it must have been startled. Like they're just the best people ever.
And she did exactly that. She'd been terrorized. They then got stuck in the house because under a siege by this alpaca. And she said to her mum, is he okay? Her mum was like, who cares? He's trying to kill us.
Animal lovers are the best.
I know this is a bit of a morning stretch, but we were wondering yesterday, because we get up quite early, around 4 o'clock, and we start work early. And we know that there's probably many of you listening right now who do a very similar thing. Tradies, shift workers.
Yep.
You're up early to go to work. But is there someone listening now who's getting up, I'll say before 5 o'clock?
Yep.
Are you getting up before 5 o'clock just cause?
Just cause. Like to go to the gym or work? Will you accept that?
Like an early gym before work.
Yeah. Like The Rock.
No, I want someone who's...
Just, I like to start my day.
Yeah, so getting up at five and maybe you're just at home until it's time to go to work. So just getting up, starting your day before 5 o'clock.
So what about someone that gets up before 5 o'clock on purpose? Like you, you want to do it. You don't have to do it because of the gym. You don't have to do it because of work. But you want to do it because you like starting your day early.
Yes. I'm not sure there's anyone out there. But 13 12 16, give us a call. Are you getting up before 5 on purpose? Not for any reason like work or gym or anything like that.
Because we've had this discussion, I think it was 6 months into us being here, someone thought about calling, they went back to bed, that we were, when we started, is like last year I used to basically get up at like, maybe like midday, because we weren't working full time. So I'd only be awake for like 8-9 hours a day. Now I'm at least awake for like 18. So I reckon I've done about 2 or 3 years in 1 year when I used to have done about 6 months in each year. So I'm now aging immensely.
Have you gotten to the point where you balanced it now? So you had all that credit of sleeping in. Have you gotten it back now?
Oh, yeah, probably. But guys, 13, 12, 16, do you get up before 5? just on purpose, not because of work or the gym. Bit of a morning stretch, but if you're out there, give us a call. We got some questions we want to ask you.
This is Mitchell and Michael. Grab the new hot and spicy buffalo chicken from Subway. You can walk away with Subway footlong voucher, giving us a call on 13, 12, 16. Because we're wondering, it's a bit of a morning stretch, but we're wondering, are you getting up before 5 o'clock in the morning just because?
Because we have to get up at about 4, but that's because of work.
Yeah.
There's other people that might go to the gym. But we want to know people that just get up just because, you know, you enjoy more hours of the day. Yeah. Or you weirdos.
Shane, you get up early just because?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I've been getting up about 4:30 every morning for the last 10 years.
Whoa, what?
10 years.
Why?
Well, because my old man, he used to do like wood cutting in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'd get up with him before he went to work, and then when I sort of got a bit old enough, I started going with him every morning, and then sort of he's scared the whole wood cutting situation, but I still can't help but get up in the morning. Like,
oh, he ruined you.
You literally miss so much in the day if you're sleeping.
I don't know.
You know,
I've loved it. Do you do it on the weekends as well?
Yeah, every day, mate. Every day, especially the weekend. Think about it. If you're on a weekend, you're not obligated to get up and go to work. So if you get up, you get ready, you get your stuff going, you can go out, you can do stuff in the morning, go for a bit of a stroll, take dog for a walk, take the motorbike for a bit of a ride or something, you know?
What time did you go to bed last night?
About 10 o'clock.
Oh, mate.
So just smashing out 6 hours and then you're up.
Yeah, mate.
Are you 12? Are you 12 but look 67?
No, mate, I'm 28 and I've been doing it for at least 10 years.
That is insane. Shane, you're an absolute legend. Thanks for the call. Pam.
Hello.
Sorry for the delay, Pam, but, you know, you've got many hours in the day to wait. You get up before 5, yeah?
Every day, yep.
Why?
I think morning's the best time of the day.
And what do you do with all your extra hours, say, before work? What are you doing?
So I go for a walk, usually around about 4:30. I watch the sun kiss the sky at the start of the day.
Beautiful.
I hear all the birdies wake up. It's beautiful. Then I go for a swim. Then I come to work.
Now, what time do you start work?
Well, I'm just arrived at work now, but normally if I swim, I get here about 8.
Oh, okay. And what time do you go to bed?
Probably about 8:30.
Okay, good. That's more.
I have to confess, sometimes it's a bit earlier.
Now, weekends, do you ever sleep in?
Not often, no.
Okay. Do you go to bed even early? Is that your sleeping? You start even earlier on a weekend, go to bed at like 4 p.m.
No, I definitely don't. But really, like 9 o'clock is a big late night for me.
Yeah, no. Slow down.
I feel you. And if you're ever seeing me walking at 4:30 on a maybe like a Saturday or Sunday morning, I just wear jeans and a t-shirt because I like how it feels when I walk. It's not because I'm coming home.
Okay.
Thanks, Fab.
Thanks, Fab.
Get up with Mitchell and Michael on the Limestone Coast's Hit 96.1.
And it's time to play a game that we have not played in over a year. And I don't believe the Limestone Coast has ever heard this game before.
Yes.
This is radio host or serial killer.
So very close. You guys have no idea.
It is it's a very simple game.
Yep.
I simply say a name to you, Mitch, and you have to decide whether they are a radio host or a serial killer. I'll use this one as a nice little setup example. If I say the name Michael Ross, radio host or serial killer?
A radio host.
Incorrect.
But you are a radio host.
I am, yes. The Michael Ross I'm referring to is a serial killer from Texas.
Okay.
Yes. So it's as easy as that. It's easy.
But that was not easy. I'm just saying that the answer was both right and incorrect.
Okay, try this name on for size then. Donald Henry Gaskins. Is he a famous radio host in the States or a famous serial killer?
In the States?
In the States.
What was his name again?
Donald Henry Gaskins.
If I was named Donald, I'd be closer to being a serial killer than a radio host. What was his middle name?
Henry.
Yeah, that's probably more radio host. Hi, it's Henry in the morning.
G'day, it's Henry. Donnie Henry.
Give us a hen ring and let us know what you're up to.
Gasco on the air now.
Yeah, what was his last name?
Gaskins. You're listening to Gasco on WXKGBY.
That's both radio host and serial killer. Like Gasco and like Gaskins. I'm going to go radio host.
Incorrect.
Ah!
Donald Henry Gaskins is the hitchhiker's killer who killed between 80 to 90 people.
Well,
starting in 1969.
Okay.
He's like the second most, one of the second most famous in America.
So he's still pretty famous. He'll get a job in Sydney.
How about this one? Let's try this one on for stage. Dante Daniel Bonaduce, is he a serial killer or a radio host?
Say his name one more time.
Dante Daniel Bonaduce.
Radio host, and he discusses famous art pieces from the 1500s to the 1630s.
He is a radio host. I don't know about discussing the art, but it's Danny Bonaducci. Like,
oh,
the guy
I recognize that man.
Who was in like the Partridge Family when he was a kid.
Is he a radio host?
He's a radio host now. He was in that 70s show as well for a while as Eric's boss.
Oh.
And there you go. That's radio host or serial killer. Simple as that.
One of the greatest games. Weirdly, we got away with it a lot more because we were on at 1 a.m. Yeah.
Just like the serial killings. Hit 96.1.
Get up with Mitchell and Michael.
Live across the Limestone Coast, hit 96.1 for your chance to win $500 cash. Go to hit.com.au and sign up for Santa's Cash Sleigh giveaway. We will be drawing that tomorrow morning. $500 cash on the line for 4 weeks. So you've got to go sign up now. It's all thanks to the distributors, Marketplace, Gourmet Meats, and Mount Gambier, Telstra. It's Mitchell and Michael right now. And we don't normally talk politics. It's not a usual part of our show. But when a politician says something about you, the people, we have to go in and bat for you.
Yep.
We can't help it, you know. We are your defenders.
Yeah, like we have to, you know. We're on the radio, like it's a privilege, not a right. Yep.
But this guy's made himself, I reckon he's made himself today, public enemy number one in Australia for these comments.
Who is it?
He is the Treasurer of New South Wales. His name is Dom Perrottet. Perrottet, yep. It doesn't even matter if I say his name right or wrong because he doesn't deserve it right now.
More like Dom Perrottet.
Yeah.
I don't even know what he said.
You want to know what he said?
One in, all in.
He's also the Minister for Industrial Relations in New South Wales, and this would not be good industrial relations. He has said recently that if Australia was a company, New South Wales is head office.
Okay.
Victoria is maintenance.
All right.
South Australia are the call centre. Queensland are the lunchroom. And Western Australia, we don't have a department. We apparently have just made all our money by digging things out of the ground and selling them.
So they're saying that's how, like, what area has made the most money for the company, which is Australia.
Yeah, basically that's what he's trying to say.
What was South Australia?
South Australia are the call centre, he's labelled us
as. What does that mean? Well, how do we make money doing that?
I don't know. I don't know what he's saying. It's ridiculous. I now like Queensland more because it's a lunchroom. Everybody loves the lunchroom.
How do you make money in a lunchroom?
And no one. Well, he's obviously trying to say they don't do anything. He's throwing salt. He's throwing salt at the rest of Australia, saying they basically do nothing. Victoria just cleans up after us. And it's all New South Wales. He says that every other state has had an unremarkable 200 years. He said only New South Wales have done anything worthwhile. Just throwing salt at the rest of the country.
What have they done? Advertise the Opera House.
Yeah, just sell the Opera House. They had one Olympics. He does admit that in the decade after the Olympic decade, they haven't done much. They need to step it up again. Whoop-de-doo. Good for you. But he's got his numbers wrong as well, because you know who's actually the best? When it comes to, like, generating money, so gross state product.
Darwin.
Your boys.
Darwin?
It is.
Ah, yes!
A territory he didn't even include.
Yay!
Per capita, they are the best. Northern Territory.
Yeah. They also have 100 empty shops. So this is just throwing that out there.
But if you had to describe it as a part of a company, what would it be?
Darwin.
Yeah, what would Northern Territory be?
Christmas party.
Let's all go to Darwin. 96.1. Mitch, you know, it's 7:40 in the morning. Everybody's probably up now on their way to work if you're not already at work. So I think this is now the time to ask this question. I need some advice. I don't want you to panic or anything or freak out, you know. I need some medical advice. It's not gross. Don't worry.
It should be bigger.
I've asked the doctors. There's nothing they can do. That's what I kind of want to know. I need possibly like a doctor or a nurse.
Yeah, no, don't worry about that. Just ask me.
Okay, well, I have this thing on my shin. All right, I wonder if you can see it if I lift up my leg. Can you see like just sort of here on my shin above my ankle? Where is it? There.
It looks like staph.
Yeah, what's going on?
It could be staph.
I don't know what this is.
It's like a ringwormy looking thing.
Yeah, I need a doctor. How do I tell the difference between dermatitis? Because I do have dermatitis on my finger.
Give me a leg.
So I do get dermatitis. I have had a history of it my whole life.
Nah, that's staph, bro.
How?
Well,
I want a doctor to tell me how we can figure that out right now. 13, 12, 16. I need a doctor or a dermatologist or something. Give us a call. If it is staph, how do we know if it's staph?
Well, that's a good idea. 13, 12, 16. If you're a doctor or just someone who thinks you know what you're talking about,
yeah,
which is almost what I would prefer, Michael's going to describe it to you like audio-wise and you could diagnose him audio-wise.
Okay, so I'm going to describe it as it's quite flat. It's not particularly raised. It's dry, quite dry, a little bit scaly.
This is great. Just as people eating breakfast.
Yeah. I hope you're enjoying this right now. But give me a hand. Is it just dermatitis? Because I've had eczema as a kid. I got like dermatitis on my finger.
This is my favorite radio break of all time.
I need some advice, all right?
This is like the prime time of breakfast radio.
Is it going to get worse?
I got this thing on my leg. We've quickly transitioned to AM radio. But
is it ringworm?
I would like someone, a doctor or someone to call up. And if they could get it and diagnose it, I'd be pretty
And then
impressed.
What do I do? Because I know if it's ringworm, you can use like vinegar to get rid of it.
Just buy antibiotics, you cheap, thrifty, horrible man.
Now you know why I'm asking for doctor's advice on air rather than go to the clinic.
So cheap. I hope you lose your leg.
It's Mitchell and Michael, hit 96.1. And if you haven't seen doing the rounds on social media or on the news recently, PETA, who are the people for the ethical treatment of animals.
Yes.
They have put forward some alternative sayings. So sayings that generally include animals and a sort of an unfavorable, unethical thing perhaps to do to the animal.
Yep.
Change into a more appropriate saying. So for example, kill two birds with one stone. Classic saying.
Don't kill no birds.
Yeah, that's the new... No, the new one is feed two birds with one scone. I would call it a scone.
Oh,
so
okay.
It doesn't work as well.
So they're trying to go like, instead of saying this thing that like it kind of promotes hurting an animal.
Yeah.
Do this instead.
Yeah. That's what they're trying to put forward.
Cool.
So be the guinea pig is now be the test tube.
Oh, that one's like a little subtle jab, isn't it?
It's a little, yeah.
Because of obviously many working on the guinea pig and they're like, oh, you've done that before. You're the test tube.
You're the test tube. But I would say that the test tube is a step before the guinea pig. We need something else.
Mm,
you know,
that's a good point.
Beating a dead horse or flogging a dead horse is a classic, more Australian way to say it. Flogging a dead horse.
Yep.
They say it should be feed a fed horse. So because flogging a dead horse is like doing something that's pointless, they're saying if the horse is fed, it's pointless to feed it.
That's not pointless. Like, because a horse could probably still keep eating, and if you kept feeding a fed horse, that would be bad for the horse. If you beat a dead horse, I'm just saying, nothing's going to happen.
That's true, it's already dead.
So it's wrong, Peter.
I also think that like a lot of these people have not necessarily done. Like, how many people have beat a dead horse? You wouldn't do it because the saying is, that's pointless to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
don't do it.
That's a good point.
So that's like bringing home the bacon is now bringing home the bagels. I've only ever bought bagels once.
And I've never been as excited when someone goes, if you're chilling at home and someone's like, oh, I bought groceries. I'm like, what'd you get? You're like, bagels. I'm like, oh, you can bring that in yourself. But if you say bacon, oh, I'm in.
I just want to quickly award a king of the comments to this Twitter user who reacted to these sayings by simply saying, surely you have bigger fish to fry.
Nice.
It's Mitchell and Michael, hit 96.1.
And Michael Ross, I never thought things I said on radio that goes out to thousands and thousands of people would eventually come back and bite me in the bottom, as my mother would say. And it's funny because my mother did say, because you know, especially me this last week and a bit, as I've sort of been recovering because I'm such a strong man, I've been quite injured. I've been getting into bed about 8 o'clock, you know?
Yes.
Good late p.m. so I get up at 4 a.m., get ready for the show. My mum gave me a call last night, 9:15. The audacity of that woman.
Did she know that you're asleep?
Yeah, she goes, "Hi, Mitch." And I was like, "Oh no, what's happened?
What have you done?"
She goes, "I just, I won't say this girl's name, but your ex-girlfriend has called me."
Oh.
And I was like, "Why?" She goes, "She's been listening to your podcast." I was like, "Mistake number one." Because.
Is she going, "I'd like to see the manager"?
Pretty much. Yeah, because this person, obviously things went bad, as you can assume they would with me.
Mm.
She hit me with the whole, like, "I think it's better." Like, I was actually like, "Oh, I guess we can stay friends." And she was like, "Yep." And then after a while, she was like, "Nah, you know what? I can't. Just need to get. Just need to get you away.
Go away.
Like, I don't want you in my life at all. I've got to have you completely gone so I can get over you."
But she enjoys the show.
This is my point. As I went, "Okay, that's weird. Why you listen to my podcast?
Yeah,
that's very bizarre.
Obviously, staying for myself."
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
You know,
maybe she enjoys a bit of Mick instead of this guy. And mum goes, "Yep." So she's heard your podcast, and yeah. And I went, "And what?" Because I forget what I say.
What did you say?
Well, think about what I've said the last 4 or 5 months. Just
that you're off the market.
Yeah, but just but just nonstop, like, "Oh, I was talking to this girl, this happened. Look what I got. Oh, I was with this girl last night. This, oh, don't you hate when you wake up and there's like 12 women in your bed?" Like, I didn't say that.
So,
but like, I may as well have.
So is your ex wondering, do these stories overlap with you being with her? Is that what she's going for?
No.
And
don't you dare insinuate that, Michael. Russ, I'm in enough trouble as it is. But mum goes, "Yeah, so she knows you're coming back as well. And she said, can you bring back all her stuff?" And I was like, because she brought some stuff over a couple of times.
Okay.
Like here, like from Perth to Mount Gambier. And I'm now like, "Oh, well, I don't want to bring that back because I didn't bring it back when I was with you. Like, let alone, why would I do it now? It's not a priority." You know,
mm-hmm.
But mum has, like, she contacted my mum to complain, like you said, and it's very, very funny that was like a business. She was like, "I'm not happy with the customer service." So she's called the manager.
I would like to talk to the
manager. And I want to, in the most breakfast way possible, ask you and ask people, is that okay? Now, this is a grown woman. I don't know why I had to establish that, but instead of contacting me and saying, like, "Ah, so you've moved on," or whatever. Mm. She's contacted my mum. 13, 12, 16. Is that allowed? Like, is that normal or is that weird?
Do you circumnavigate the ex by going to their mum?
Yeah. Is that like petty?
I don't think it's petty. It's just she really doesn't want to speak to you.
But why are you listening to my podcast? I got people that like me that don't listen to it.
Live across the Limestone Coast, hit 96.1. Go to hit.com.au, sign up for Santa's Cash Slate. We'll be back tomorrow with the winner.
That's right, guys. Podcast, Mitchell Michael Show, and your favorite podcast app. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.